Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is my friend Megan Buchanan, and we're going to talk about growth today. That's part of her women's growth, grit. So she's going to elaborate on what growth means. So, Megan, how have you been?
I'm good. I'm really tired today.
Oh, boy. I wonder why.
I know. So 2 months out from leaving for Everest, and this is like where kind of that crunch time is of, you know, if you're going to do something like this, you really should have been training, which I have been. And right now I'm in the spot where I'm doing like the long hiking days and really working with a weighted pack and really working on my muscle endurance. But it definitely takes your time. Friday, for me, it's Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, because I do work a regular job Monday through Thursday, and then I've got a thing going with Friday. But yeah, so I'm on those long days of working out right now, so my body is really tired. So it's also important that I get some sleep and I eat right, and so it's all Everest training right now is what my life's focused around.
So when you work during the week, does that give your body time to recover from, you know, weight training more or less?
You know, so that's, as I've gotten older, that is the big thing that I've had to really research and learn is recovery. Because when you're super young, your body recovers so fast, but I'm in my mid 40s. And so now I really have to pay attention. It's in that recovery time that your body rebuilds and you do get stronger. Otherwise you can stress yourself and overtrain. And so, yeah, so I'm actually reading this really great book called The New Alpinism right now. And they have this great section in that is really, you need to eat the right things after you work out. You need to replenish your carbohydrates, your proteins, your electrolytes, and you need to be getting good sleep so your cells can regenerate. So, and I'll tell you, it's not hard for me to want to sleep a lot because I'm tired, but it's all worth it. And it's all working. Yeah, it's all working. We were chatting a little bit before this, how right now I'm doing this on the weekends, this 5,000 vertical hike, 5,000 foot vertical feet. And I'm getting faster and faster every weekend. So that's kind of how I judge that the training is working and I'm doing it right. So feeling good about that. And then after this podcast, I'll go out for a nice light pack. I'm going to do a non-weighted pack and do a 4-hour probably snowshoe and just keep training.
So, you know, I got to say, you know, I've been doing walking and stairs, not as religiously as I have since we started talking. And I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought.
No, that's okay. You've been doing, you have been doing all the stairs. You broke it down so that you would do the equivalent
of
walking Everest, which is awesome. I love that.
My goal is to do 5,000 steps a month. What is the oldest person you've known who has done Everest?
The age when they, you know, I'd say the majority of people I know that have done it have definitely been in their 40s and 50s. And I do know a couple, of course, I do know like mountaineering professional guides that have done it much earlier. Jake Norton is a gentleman who did it in his, I think it was 20. He might have been 19, but he was very young and he's a world-renowned mountaineer, really amazing. And he's summited several times, but I think the more like the average person like me, does it usually, honestly, it's later in life because I think the mental strength that is needed to compartmentalize Everest and to take it on, That comes with experience and practice and a life of grit, a life of toughening up,
right,
and knowing what your body can and can't do. And I think you kind of figure that out a little bit later in life, and that drive to go do it.
So the reason I asked for that is I'm a little bit older than you. I'm a baby boomer. So concentrating on 5,000 steps a month, plus, you know, trying to learn how to use the kettlebell is a very, you know, challenging experience for me. So my question to you is, no matter what age you are, you can always step out of the comfort zone and do stuff to enhance your life. Would that be a correct statement?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, even the first time, I think I've talked about it before, the first time I climbed Kilimanjaro was with my father, and he was 65 when he did it. And he slayed it. I mean, there was, yeah, oh, he did. I mean, I got my love for hiking from him, but he did, it was, age had nothing to do with it. He slayed it. He did a great job. So, and you like living out here in Vail and Aspen, I mean, it's everyone is, I know so many people who are in their 70s, they ski every single day. They are at Apri every afternoon. Age does not matter here.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
finding
great.
Whatever.
No,
yeah.
I think a lot of people, as they get older, are kind of averse to really pushing themselves out of the zone. And, you know, one of the reasons I enjoy talking to you is you give me the determination that I could do it.
Aw, well, you know, you're so right. And it's not, I think that not just age, but even being women or girls, or there's certain things that others tell us we can't do, because it's an idea they have in their head. And at a certain age, people will tell you, well, you shouldn't be doing that. That's just not what you should be doing. And we even have that little voice. We all have that little voice in our heads that will tell us, what are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this. You can't do this. You won't be able to do this. And whether it's someone else telling us that or our own voice, that is, you're right. We have to have the determination, and we have to choose to do something different and not listen to that. And I respect your opinion. Thank you very much, but I'm going to go ahead and do this. And I'll say I've spent so much of my life doing exactly that, learning to not be affected by that, learning to talk back to my own little voice in my head. So when I climbed Denali, and that for me was going to be my gateway or my decision point, my milestone on if I was going to take Everest really on or not. And I summited, and I remember within a couple days, I was like, that's it. I felt so excited. I am going to go climb Everest. And my own little voice said to me, what are you talking about? That is crazy. I thought we said we'd never do that. And then my other little voice goes back and says, yeah, but we're good. We're doing it. And you have to learn, like you said, to get out of your comfort zone and be that voice for whatever it is you want to do. And I think that's a really, really important thing.
Now, before we started doing our, you know, monthly chats or bi-monthly chats, you know, if I didn't feel like doing stash for that day, I would say, oh, I'm not going to do it today. But then now that we talk and you've given me kind of like an inspiration to keep going, I think, oh, it's only, you know, 200 steps and I can polish that off in like 20 minutes. I'm going to do it. So, you know, you're kind of like a mentor that gives me the incentive to keep on going, which I think is really important.
Oh, I appreciate that. And that really, I mean, that really fills my heart, like knowing that, you know, I helped you get up and do that, those 200 steps. And actually just having our conversations has helped me kind of realize a better way to also help maybe inspire people, because I often forget how hard it is for some people to just take that first step. And so like in my Instagram or what I put out, I'm trying to be more aware of that and really encourage people, not, you know, you're already training, keep going, but get out there and take that very first step. Like you said, get out of your comfort zone. Instead of being tired and pulling the covers over your head, if you want that goal, get up. Like, just get up and do what you can right now. And starting at that very beginning, because a lot of people, someone wrote back to me, like, it's that first step that's the hardest. And it really is. And then you just kind of get more motivated to keep going because you're building something for yourself.
I remember a couple of years ago, I had seen a commercial. It was a commercial about shoes. And they mentioned 57,000 steps. And then I heard somewhere else that was the equivalent to Everest. And I thought, my New Year's resolution every year is going to be to do 57,000 steps in a year. And how I break it down is if I do 200 steps a day, which takes me like maybe 10 minutes, then over the long run, 57,000 steps is achievable, which, you know, less is more as far as I'm concerned. I'm not breaking my back to do, 1,000 steps a day. I'm doing 200 steps a day. And over time, that's going to get me to 57,000, you know, pretty nicely without really saying, it's daunting. I broke it up where it's doable and achievable.
Yeah, and I think that's such a great way to look at it and do something. Again, it's your journey. It's your summit. You get to pick what that is. And you get through it. And at the end of it, if you feel like, you know what, I know I could do a little more. Then the next time you do something a little more, do 300 steps a day and stay. But if you feel good with where you are at, then awesome. And you can do that again. I think we talked about this before. So I've got a girlfriend of mine who she's so excited for my climb. And she actually went through a major knee surgery. She hiked Kilimanjaro with me. She had done Everest Base Camp with me, Mount Fuji. But she had some knee issues and finally got surgery, which is great. But she really wanted to go at least, but she can't right now. So she found this app. I think it's called The Conqueror or something. And so she's doing on her treadmill, rehabbing her knee. She's doing the equivalent of Everest. And then she's like, well, heck, now I'm going to do all the 7 summits on this app with you. And so, I'm so excited for her, and she's excited, and she sends me like posts every week of what her accomplishments have been. And so it's just another great way that you can bring fitness into your life and not actually have to go risk your life out on a mountain. You can do it.
Right.
You can do it in the comfort of your home. Yes. But it's a great goal to have, and it's really fun.
What's the name of the app?
It's called The Conqueror.
Okay.
And there's several others too, but that's the one she's doing. She really loves it. She got this certificate. She just finished her Everest hike, and she got this little certificate. And so it was really, really cute. And actually, this app sends you all this information about where you're traveling along the trail in Nepal. And so I love reading it because, I've been there so many times, but I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this. And so it's been really fun for both of us.
So, we're talking about growth today, even though we're talking about other stuff. So, when did mountain climbing become the vogue?
I'm sorry, say again, when did mountain climbing become what?
The vogue. I mean, the thing to do.
I grew up hiking with my dad, so it's always been a huge part of my life. And Before my femur break, I had done Kilimanjaro, I had done, the 14ers in Colorado and all sorts of hiking. But when my leg was broken and I was told that I wouldn't be able to do it again, then it really became the focus for me. That was my end goal, to get through all the pain and the rehab and the year and a half of struggles with my leg. I just kept focusing on that goal of I want to go back to Everest Base Camp, and then I want to go to Kilimanjaro again. And it was, again, I think we talked about this before, when I figured out that I was mentally stronger than I'd ever been before, that's when it flipped for me that I'm like, not only do I love this, but I'm really good at it. And I decided to start, and this is going to parlay into growth perfectly, because I decided to start really taking it seriously and start working on my technical skills to become a mountaineer. And I had to step out of my comfort zone, and I was going to have to grow and learn a whole bunch of new things from the beginning to improve my skills to get to that big goal of climbing the larger mountains I wanted to do. It is interesting in mountaineering because I think you come from two families. You either come from the family of hikers that become mountaineers, or you come from the family of climbers, the technical rock and ice climbers that then become mountaineers. I came from the hiker side, so I needed to learn a lot of new skills to be proficient and to be, good at mountaineering to qualify to do, Denali and Everest.
I'm glad you used the phrase learning new skills. Now, I'm a retired New York State employee, and I know a couple of people I know a lot of people that are retired, but I have one particular friend who's just a little younger than I am, who when I talk to him, we talk about technology and, emailing and Facebook and Twitter and stuff, and he says, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to learn all that new stuff. And it's the phrase, I'm not going to learn. When you learn new things or you're open to learning new things, you broaden your perspective on stuff, and it's really enlightening. So a lot of people will not take the initiative to learn new stuff. And I think that's an important part of growth, because if you're averse to learning, new stuff, then you're not going to grow, right?
Exactly. And I think that's such a perfect example that you just gave. Because, and then you get down to the root of why does someone feel that way? And the reason why is because you become, when it's something new, you're not good at, you didn't know, you're going to have to bump your head and skin your shins, and people are going to tell you, nope, you didn't do that right. It is uncomfortable and it is vulnerable, and that scares people. That is not a great feeling. But the word growth, I can remember as a kid, I had such severe growing pains is what my mom got, like when my legs were growing. And oh my God, my legs hurt. And like to me, I'm like, growth doesn't usually come without some pain. And that is part of it. You have to be willing to endure that pain and until it's not painful anymore. And that does take a lot of energy, right? And so I think a lot of people are just like, yeah, no thanks, I'm good. But they're missing out on so much more. And, I think with my dyslexia, I kind of have been thrown, I've been thrown into growth my whole life. I was constantly battling dyslexia. So it wasn't something that was, I was comfortable with being uncomfortable. And so I think that's part of, why I talk about growth and grit, because it is one of those tools that I've learned. I can't get anywhere. I can't do more for myself or raise my bar without, without embodying and walking with, fear and growing. And that's been a huge part of my journey, is growth for sure.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about your concept of growth as you incorporate it into your organization.
Yeah, so again, we talk about, so grit, the G-G-R-I-T, and we talked about gratitude, so the second G. I couldn't do just one G, I had to have two, because growth and gratitude are super important. But again, those two kind of set the foundation for what follows afterwards, because the resilience, integrity, tenacity, those are all things that that will help you keep going. But you need that foundation of growth. And again, like I said, that willingness to be vulnerable and to put yourself out there and to, you know, be of service to yourself and others, learn new things. If you have a goal, and it can be, it doesn't have to be Mount Everest. Let's take a simpler goal, like running a 5K. You being willing, maybe you don't run, being willing to learn those new skills to get out there and run three times a week in preparation, and listening to that little voice in your head saying, no, you can't do this, and saying, you know what, I'm going to learn how to do this. Learning what the right shoes are. You know, you're out there for the first time, and then you start noticing what other runners are wearing, and you're like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be wearing a cotton t-shirt. What am I doing? So it is a whole bunch of just that very simple thing. You've got to be willing to be vulnerable and to learn from others and learn from yourself. And sometimes that's really, really scary, but I think it's a really important tool. And, you know, one thing when I talk to like high schools or junior high schools, one thing I really want to tell younger people, because I watch my friends with all their kids, I think there is so much pressure and such a society where mistakes are not allowed. And I cannot imagine the pressure a young person must feel, because everything is captured on social media. You can't ever take a mistake or a misstep. But that is horrible, because the way that we, especially when you're young and you're learning all this stuff, the way that we grow and we become better and we become the best in our field or the best as an athlete is because we have pushed ourselves and we've failed and we've learned from it and we've gotten back up and we've tried again. And so I think this actually will probably apply to any age then, I'll make high school kids say with me, I am going to fail. They're so uncomfortable saying it because they've been taught the opposite, but I'll make them say it with me and explain that if they aren't failing and falling, they're not trying. And so, you know, and I explain with my dyslexia, I failed calculus too, like two or three times in college. I got back up and I took it the next semester. I mean, it was a beast, but I wanted it. And so I got back up, and sure, I felt horrible about it, but you know, I cried, I dusted my knees off, and I took it again. And I am a successful engineer. And I think part of it's because of that willingness to fight for what I wanted and that willingness, that vulnerability to grow and keep learning. It makes me a better manager than if I had been, you know, one of the wonderful, blessed people that you get straight A's all through college. And so it's, you know, I make high school kids talk about that and you know, it just really accept that, you know, fall down seven times, get up eight. And that's with anything with education, that's with mountain climbing. There's so many people that go and try to summit a mountain and you fail. You can't summit because of weather, because you're ill, whatever the reason may be. But if you want it, you go back and you try it again. And it's that willingness to fail in order to grow, I think is so, so important. And so I get really passionate about this. And it's what we're taught the opposite. We're taught failure is not an option, but it is. It's the only option to get better at what you want to do, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, because when I first started doing my podcast, my first reaction to myself was, what are you, crazy? you can't do that. Well, I did it, and now people from all over Albany, New York know me. You know, I can't walk out of my house without my hair looking good or some makeup on because everybody knows me. And if I had listened to that inner voice when I first started, I never would have gotten to where I am, where I'm doing important stuff in the city of Albany, in the county of Albany. So even though your little voice is, you're nuts, you can't do this, disregard mm-hmm. that little voice and just do it, right, Megan?
Yeah, oh my gosh, no, it's exactly right. And we all have that little voice. It you know, just because I am where I am now, it doesn't mean I don't have that voice. I just know we just have a good relationship now. I talk back to it. And that voice is smaller and smaller as we go along. But anytime I pick up something brand new, that voice is stronger. But I've gotten through so many things. I'm quicker and quicker at responding to it. And so it is a lifelong practice, and it is understanding that it's okay to feel fear. And I encourage people to walk with their fear while you keep moving forward. Recognize it, don't fight it, but it will dissipate. There's this amazing quote that I love by Michael Beckwith. And he says, let pain push until vision pulls. And I love that because there is that click over moment in anything new that you're learning and your growth. You're letting that fear push you and that uncertainty and that vulnerability push you until it clicks over and you've got to grasp on it. And now that vision pulls you the rest of the way. And I love that saying. And that's part when that pain and that fear is pushing you, that's that moment of growth that we're talking about, that willingness to feel that discomfort until that vision pulls.
So, Megan, we're out of time for today. Ooh. How can people learn more about grit?
Well, I have got a website that's www.ggrit, so grit with an extra g.com. And I've got my social media on there also. I am a grassroots, so my website's still being, you know, built. It's a wonderful little creation by myself right now. But I'm also on Instagram. I love to do posts and help people motivate them as well. And it's Get Grit. On Instagram. So I'd love for anyone to follow my journeys, especially I'll be posting on Everest and sharing my actual journey with everyone the whole way up. So that will be really exciting. I'd love for people to follow along and use their app and climb Everest their own on their treadmill while I'm doing the real Everest.
Megan, thank you so much. I look forward to talking with you again. You've been listening to Megan Buchanan. Cynthia Pooler. If you like this show, Women Who Inspire, follow us on Facebook. Thanks, Megan. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you,
Have
Cynthia.
A great day.
Bye.